My next guest is on the line. He's a gentleman. He's an editor at My Broadband who I haven't spoken to for about 3 years. I've got a massive smile on my face. Great to chat to you again, Jan Vermeulen.
It's a pleasure to be here. Great to chat to you too.
I'm not just smiling because I'm talking to you. I'm smiling even more because of this crazy story that you have uncovered and written about. Because, I mean, it's almost like out of a comedy script. Is it for real? I'm going to hand over to you. Give me the backstory. And is it for real?
Yeah, sure thing. You're referring to the Eskom massage parlor.
That's exactly what I'm referring to, yes.
Yeah, so this is a story we picked up from the General Secretary of the trade union, Solidarity. So it's a secondhand report from us, but it's from a source who has firsthand access to this kind of stuff, because Solidarity was in the room because they're busy negotiating wage increases at Eskom at the moment. To remind people, the last time this happened, it was a total and unmitigated disaster, and South Africa was plunged into stage 6 load shedding. And so these trade negotiations, or these wage negotiations, are incredibly important, because if they go awry, things go wrong very fast for the country. Anyway, so Gideon Duplessis from Solidariteit, wrote in Rapport on Sunday that when the negotiations started, the head negotiator from Eskom stood up in front of everybody and said, by the way, we have set up a massage salon for your use for after a day of intense negotiations in the building for you all to enjoy. And Gideon, thinking it's a joke, said, made a tongue-in-cheek comment to the effect of, this is reporting now directly from him, he said this, that, yeah, they're going to regularly tell Eskom to go back and massage their offer. And he was channeling an old colleague and adversary in the trade union space, who would be in those negotiations with him in the past. So he was quoting him, so that was part of the joke. But it turns out that the massage salon was absolutely real, and one of the head negotiators from one of the other unions apparently made use of it before they ultimately shut it down after the union representative said that it was wholly inappropriate for Eskom to offer this facility. So that's, I think, yet another thing that'll make people angry when they realize what their electricity fees are going towards at Eskom.
Do you think there's anybody there who gives them any advice whatsoever about PR and the optics of what it is that they do? Do you think... I'm gobsmacked. I'm actually speechless. In a country where they turn the lights off to arrange massage stations. I mean, for real?
Yeah. So in this particular case, sometimes it's interesting when you chat to these folks, that, like, sometimes you inhabit the world so fully that you forget what it looks like from the outside.
Interesting thought. And
I think part of it was, Hanlon's razor is never ascribed to malice what is adequately explained by incompetence. But, if we were to assume a little bit of bad faith here, I mean, it could also be that they just were hoping it would get out, that the unions would just make use of the perk and would keep their mouths shut, and that it would allow Eskom to get a more favorable result in the negotiations. There's definitely two ways to view this, without being able to interview Eskom directly about what happened here. It's difficult to say which of those two things it is.
In your opinion, do you think that the massage helped them get a better result?
Well, it's still no. The negotiations are still ongoing. And, like, the biggest union, none. Uh-huh. They went in and they're like, we want 15%. So this thing already started at a very hot temperature. So yeah, things are I don't know how well things are going to go, because firstly, you've now got this expectation, or you've set this this level of 15% in the public domain, because obviously they issued a press release about it. Secondly, Eskom has already kind of been put in a straitjacket in this respect, because the Minister of Electricity has said that Eskom will not be getting double-digit increases in future. And so in order to fund a 15% pay hike, Eskom would have to increase tariffs by a lot more than they're going to be allowed to increase them next year. Already Eskom is in a difficult position, because the fact is, what it comes down to here is either paying people less or firing people in order to meet these salary demands from some of these unions. So yeah, it's going to be a fun few months, and hopefully we don't have a repeat of what happened back under Andre de Ruyter.
I want to get back into your head. What were you thinking? What made you think, gosh, I need to share this story?
The audacity.
I get that.
So the audacity, and then also I think it's important for people to be informed. So this was a particularly salacious detail about something that is very important. These wage negotiations, as dry, like I could not get people to read a story about wage negotiations if I tried. But the massage salon,
yeah, that'll be the
like hook. Certainly makes it a lot more interesting. But this is an incredibly important story when you view it in context of what's come before, and Eskom's overall situation. The precariousness of things. Like, I think, you know, because the lights are on and stuff, there's very little concern at the moment, except for the price of electricity. Even that, people are kind of resigned about the price of electricity, which is unfortunate. But what happens here is exceedingly important, because it impacts the price of electricity, it impacts the likelihood of load shedding, it impacts people's livelihoods at Eskom itself. Let's not forget about them, they are doing work and are receiving a wage. And that wage has a direct impact on us, the end user, who pays the fees that funds that. This whole thing is interconnected, and it's an incredibly important story, which is what went through my head.
Yeah, I guess that's the only way that you were ever going to get us to read about Eskom wage negotiations, that's for sure. I've got to ask you one last question. It just fascinates me. So you make the decision to put it online. What kind of reactions did you get from the general public?
I mean, exactly as you'd expect. So we do sometimes have Eskom people commenting on our stories, especially when we put up a story about the average salary. Mm-hmm. They're very quick to criticize and point out, you know, that, averages like can get skewed and all that stuff. They were very silent about this story. But honestly, I think that the people inside Eskom are just as angry about this, because obviously they want their unions to, at least the bargaining units, they want the bargaining units to get them the best possible deal. But in this case, what was essentially happening was Eskom was whining and dining the union reps to try and get a better result. And so I would imagine that the Eskom, the folk, the reaction from people in Eskom would actually be just as angry as the rest of us. As you can imagine, the reaction, the story performed moderately well, and the reaction was exactly the same one as the one we're having here, is almost disbelief.
Jan Vermeulen, editor at My Broadband. Like you said, a serious story, but nevertheless, thank you for a bit of light relief this afternoon.